this evening. That's the revival that took place in India in 1905. And we see kind of it started in Wales, but it occurred in India, occurred in Korea and China and many other places throughout the globe. And so we have this record given here. Two different individuals gave a bit of a record of it, and so that's what we want to look at this evening. This is taken from the revival in the Cashier Hills by Mrs. John Roberts. It says, as years rolled on and the Christian community increased, and as violent and systematic persecution became more seldom, and the Christians had become a power in their country, a listlessness crept over many of them. They became at ease in Zion, forgetting the woe pronounced against such by the prophet of old. They became less watchful, and as a consequence, less enthusiastic in their zeal for the Lord of hosts. It may be said with much truth that in some things, during the later years, the church in Cashier reflected the church in Wales, as described by the Reverend Evan Phillips, Newcastle Emlyn, in an article of his on the revival in Wales. The church was sleeping and her heart awake. She was in a manner conscious of the wretchedness of her condition, and often she was heard to call out, "Awake, O arm of the Lord!" But it was a dreamy and a mistaken call, for God calls back to her, "Awake, Zion, it is thou who art sleeping. Thy God is awake." The fact that they were thus calling one upon the other made some to feel very sure that the awakening would not be long deferred. Thoughts about God which passed unconsciously through Zion's heart drew the Holy Spirit to his old work, and she found herself again the company of her God and her Redeemer. It was very like that in Cashier. It must be confessed with sorrow and shame that to some extent the church had lost her first love, and as a result had become weaker in her resources, less able to train and control her members, especially her younger members. But she was not without her watchman, who called out day and night to her God, and in the time of her great need he heard and graciously came again to show himself on her side, to show that he was king in the midst of her and mighty to save. Towards the end of 1904, the good news reached Cashier that God had visited his church in Wales, that a wonderful power had descended upon his people, and that thousands of unbelievers were being convinced of their sins and were anxiously inquiring their way towards Zion. The Cashier Christians were full of joy when they heard this and were very thankful that their mother church in Wales had been remembered in so remarkable a manner. They spoke much to one another about this, and as week after week they received the news of the great progress of the kingdom of God, they began to hope that in their own country the same great things might be experienced. They prayed much for this, and so great was their eagerness that they not only prayed for it in the meetings held in the chapels, but they had meetings in their own houses to ask God to remember them as he had remembered Wales. When going in and out among the Christians, one observed an eagerness to receive a special visitation which was beautiful to behold. This was apparent among men and women alike. The assembly in 1905 was to be held in Cherrapunji, and there was an eager expectation that a great blessing would descend upon the church during that meeting. The assembly was a remarkable one. There was a sacredness and solemnity connected with every meeting which was inexpressibly beautiful. It was felt that a divine presence was with his people. But the thing which was so looked for was not experienced at that time. The meetings were veritably a foretaste of what was coming. There are many voluntary prayers, and delegates and others return to their villages with their faith increased and their hope stimulated and their longing much intensified. When God had led on his people into that state, he had made them ready to receive the blessing and did not long defer it. 2 or 3 weeks after the assembly, a presbytery was held in Peryong in the district which is under the charge of Reverend E.H. Williams, and it was there that God was pleased to visit his people in Cashier by pouring upon them the promised Comforter. The following is Mr. Williams' description. It will be well to preface the description by his graphic account of the manner in which God had prepared that part of the field for the revival. All friends of the mission will rejoice to know that a great revival has begun in Cashier and is spreading rapidly everywhere. There had been a general desire for some time that God would revive his work, and this desire was intensified by the reports of the revival in the Mother Church in Wales. The church in Mopalang, early in 1903, decided to hold special prayer meetings every Monday night to pray for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit through Cashier, not only here but throughout the world. These prayer meetings were the means of great blessing and increased the thirst for divine showers. There was more activity among the Christians, and the Lord gave us over 80 souls from the world. Toward the end of the year 1904, our prayer meetings became still more fervent, and there was an eagerness on the part of the young people to take part. Even young girls were led to stand up and pray. In these meetings, sometimes 3 or 4 would stand up at the same time, and often there was much emotion shown. Beginning of the year 1905, we decided to hold prayer meetings every night until the Holy Spirit came amongst us, as in Wales. We very soon felt that the Spirit was indeed in our midst. The fellowship was very sweet, and we were often loath to close the meeting at 10 o'clock. The assembly at Chair in February proved a great blessing to hundreds, and many of our brethren returned to their homes full of a desire to serve the Lord more faithfully and to pray for a still greater manifestation of His Spirit. After this, the Spirit poured His grace amongst us, and the dew was heavy in nearly all the meetings. Occasionally, we rejoiced in a shower when some of us were overwhelmed. The chapel was filled with prayers, weeping, and praise. Sunday, March 5th, we had a glorious day. Our Sunday school was studying John 1:33 about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the hindrances to obtain this blessing. Many of the brethren were deeply touched, and the prayer of one brother at this close will long be remembered. Break our hearts, O Lord, break our stony hearts to pieces. Jesus has done so much for us, we are ashamed of ourselves because we are so hard. With that, many hearts were broken, and there was much weeping, and many were fired with a desire to consecrate themselves to God and to His service. A strong desire for a special visitation from on high, a daily gathering of the faithful to the house of God to give voice to that desire in fervent and persevering prayer, a renewed dedication to God and to His work. As we look back, we plainly see that these were the steps which led to the mighty revival in Kasia. God had brought His people in humble faith to His footstool when He had filled their hearts with a holy expectancy. Then was the set time come, the time to be favorable to Zion, the time of the right hand of the Most High, the time for Him to visit His people by pouring upon them His own Holy Spirit. We refer again to the description that we may find in it the first great revival experience in the hills of Kasia. The presbytery at Peryong is one that will be long remembered, for here did God answer abundantly the prayers of His people. On Friday evening, we had a very good prayer meeting. The chairman invited one or two by name to engage in prayer, but others stood up in the midst of the congregation to pray in such prayers, so full of unction. We felt that the Spirit was with us. They prayed that God would pour His Spirit upon us as He had done in Wales. While these prayers, others cried, O Lord, work amongst us, reveal Thy power. And many were weeping and others saying, Amen. People appeared to be very unwilling to close the meeting. It was then arranged that we should devote one of the meetings on Saturday to pray for a revival in Kasia. In this meeting also we had many causes for joy. There was an eagerness to engage in prayer, and the prayers were remarkable for their fervency. Many were weeping silently, but the most wonderful meeting of all was the third of the Sunday services. Two of the Kasia preachers spoke very powerfully, and we felt that God was with His servants. The close of this service, when the preacher was about to pronounce the benediction, we were startled by hearing someone, Yu Rutan, beginning to pray most earnestly in the midst of the congregation. Prayed that God would not let us leave without the blessing. We had been expecting Him to reveal the power of His Spirit amongst us all day, and now we had come to the end of the day without the great blessing. O God, pour down Thy Spirit upon us all now, whilst Thou art blessing the people of Wales so much. Do not send us away empty. Whilst this brother was praying, others also began to pray at the same time, both men and women, and then it is difficult to say what took place. Many were praying, some were crying aloud for mercy, some men were fainting, nearly all were weeping, and some were praising God. Then someone began to sing, and I'm not sure how that's pronounced. This was taken up and repeated time after time until some were nearly dancing with emotion. While the people were singing, we could still hear others praying, O Lord, pour down a still greater blessing. 7 o'clock, an endeavor was made to close the meeting in order that the people might go to eat, but this was ineffectual. A certain number went, but a great many remained praying in the chapel. After a hurried meal, we returned to the chapel to find it packed and the scene going on with greater enthusiasm. It was a meeting never to be forgotten. Some of the men had been inclined to speak disparagingly of the excitement and weeping which they had witnessed in the earlier meetings. In this one, some of them were so overcome that they had to be supported by their friends lest they should fall. Such is the description of the meeting which God was pleased to signalize as one of the, to be the first to receive the promised blessing, the gift and great measure of His Holy Spirit. So then this next excerpt is taken from the story of the great revival at Muktai, India, 1905, given by Pandita Ramabai. It says, in answer to united and continuous prayer from both workers and Christian converts at Muktai, the Lord wonderfully answered and poured down showers of blessing. December 1901 and the following January, about 1,200 were baptized, but the workers felt the need of a much deeper work of grace to be manifest in the lives of converts and continued to cry to the Lord. The following July, a further revival of blessing came down from above. For nearly 3 weeks, meetings, daily increasing in size, were held. Nearly 600 shared, and the blessings were let out into the joy of the Lord. News of the revival in Australia in 1903 aroused Ramabai to send thither her daughter and Miss Abrams in order that they might catch the inspiration of the revival fire from praying bands for Mukti among the Australian Christians. Burn of the message which Ramabai sent by them to the newly revived Australian churches was, "Brethren, pray for us." The news of the revival in Wales brought much gladness to Ramabai. In January 1905, she told her pupils about it and called for volunteers to meet with her daily for special prayer for a revival in India. 70 came forward, and from time to time others joined. In June, 550 were meeting twice daily in this praying band, rejoicing still more that the revival had reached the Welsh missions in the Cashier Hills in Assam. Padita Ramabai then asked for volunteers from her Bible school to give up their secular studies and go into the villages to preach the gospel. 30 young women volunteered and were meeting daily to pray for the endowment of power when the revival came upon them. The next evening, while Ramabai was expounding John 8 in her usual quiet way, the Holy Spirit descended with power, and all the girls began to pray aloud so she had to cease talking. Little children, middle-sized girls, and young women wept bitterly and confessed their sins. Some few saw visions and experienced the power of God and things too deep to be described. Two little girls had the spirit of prayer poured on them in such torrents that they continued to pray for hours. They were transformed with heavenly light shining on their faces. From that time, said Miss Abrams, our Bible school was turned into an inquiry room. Girls stricken down in her conviction of sin while in school or in the industrial school or at their work were brought to us. Lessons were suspended, and we all, teachers and students, entered the school conducted by the Holy Spirit. The greatest apparent results from these meetings came to the orphanages and schools at Pune, the pupils of which were permitted to attend. It was noticed that the Spirit of God worked in a remarkable manner in those institutions where famine waves had been gathered. The belief held by many that God would turn the curse into a blessing by making the horrors of famine an instrument of salvation in India was seen to be well-founded. It was also noticeable that the first communities of famine orphans visited with the revival were those conducted on the same principle as George Mueller's famous institutions, in faith in God for daily bread and all temporal supplies. It could not be otherwise, for this work was born of prayer. The enormous sums of money received from England, America, and Australia, which enabled the Lord's servants in India to rescue so many precious lives, were given in large proportion by His own people. Much of this giving was steeped in prayer and earmarked by heroic self-denial, for the one felt it was all a part of one great plan focused on one object in the purposes of the eternal God. An experience by Mr. Hanley Bird will fittingly close this chapter on the great revival. It was written in May 1906, almost 12 months from the commencement of the wondrous outpouring at Mukti. Mr. Bird is a well-known missionary of the people known as Brethren, working at Coimbatore in South India since 1890. The writer spent 17 days recently at Mukti, days of blessing that, please God, will leave their mark on all his future life. How can one describe the tides of feeling this first contact with revival begat in the soul? There was hunger, real pain of hunger, for a share in this visitation of God. Shame, bitter shame, at the ignorance after long years of Christian life of what this prevailing in prayer, being lost in prayer meant, as it was seen here in many mere children. Then there was wonder, praiseful wonder, at the marvels of grace. We are all full of praise that we have been allowed to live to hear such sounds in India. Souls in agony with bitter wailing and moving entreaty seeking the Lord. Hearts overflowing with joy in Jesus, abandoned to the luxury of praising Him, sitting on the ground or kneeling, lost to all that goes on around, with clasped hands and upturned faces aglow with love, in the midst of a crowd but apart with Him, exchanging the holiest confidences of affection. This is worship, the worship the Father seeks for, and it is one of the loveliest sights one can conceive out of heaven. When some hundreds are carried away and can only sing hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb, until unable to sing any more, God is surely getting His own, and His heart is refreshed.